Some of Australia's biggest charities are being given $50 million to help bushfire victims pay for essentials like food and petrol. The Minister for Government Services is Stuart Robert. He's visiting the government's mobile service teams in Murrimbula, Bega and Eden today. And when I spoke to him earlier, I began by asking how the money will be distributed.
Through our existing partners, so we right now have over $40 million per annum through over 180 organisations across Australia for relief payments and $13.5 million for financial counselling. So we've got existing providers in place. So this is a $50 million package just for the bushfire ravaged communities across Australia, a massive injection, and we'll be using those partner agencies in many ways for relief, primarily through St Vinny's and the Salvation Army, since they have an extensive footprint across those bushfire affected areas.
The government's also been giving $1,000 per adult and $400 per child as a disaster relief payment. Now, the Australian Council of Social Service says that's seriously inadequate. They want it raised to $3,000, for example, for every adult. Would you consider that?
Remember, that disaster relief payment is designed for immediate release for those in very difficult circumstances, immediate relief. In many respects, when people call on the phone, we've had over 62,000 calls to our lines. We've processed over $42 million to 32,000 Australians. In many cases, they've got it in 5 minutes through the new payments platform. So it's immediate money that's going immediately to Australians, $1,000 for every Australian adult, 16 and over, and $400 per child.
Nonetheless, so ACOS is saying, look, that payment has been pegged at the same amount for 14 years. And is it not time to change?
Well, it's only one of the various payments that government provides, not just federal but state, and it's designed as an immediate relief payment. That's the whole point of it. It's quick. There's also the disaster recovery allowance for those who can't find access to their job because their job's no longer there or they can't actually get there. There's payments from states and territories as well. So it's only one of a series of payments that goes across people in very difficult circumstances.
You mentioned the disaster recovery allowance. That's the 13 weeks of income support. As I understand it, it's pegged to Newstart, which is $40 a day. Again, when people have lost everything, is that really enough?
But again, it's designed as a relief payment. So if someone can't get to their work, it's designed as an immediate relief payment on top of everything else that governments provide.
Are casual workers eligible? Because we heard on the program yesterday from one restaurant owner saying, look, high school students, for example, haven't had any summer work. Are people who've lost shifts or simply not been taken on, are they eligible for any of this income support?
They are. If you have lost your work and you just need to show that work you've lost, you can apply for disaster recovery allowance. It doesn't matter in the manner in which you're employed. It's just simply to say if you're no longer working, you can provide or you can seek support. Now, if you're only doing a four-hour shift once a week, you can't apply, of course, for the full New Start package. But the point is there, it's to replace degrees of lost income for those whose workplace is no longer there. If you're working in an orchard for 5 days a week and the orchard unfortunately is destroyed, that's what the DRA is there for.
On climate change, your ministerial colleague Karen Andrews is being pretty blunt today. She says people debating whether climate change is real are wasting time, time that could be spent tackling the issue. Isn't that a message aimed squarely at the coalition party room, the government itself?
Well, government's policy on this is well known, that climate change is an issue we are dealing with every single day. It's well understood. The government's policies on this are well understood. We have agreed to a 26% reduction on our emissions, and we will hit that at a canter. We are absolutely and utterly forward-leaning into this policy program.
Well, you say it's well understood. You say it's well understood, yet one of your fellow Queenslanders, George Christensen, for example, he was recently rejecting the notion that climate change had anything to do with the bushfires.
The government couldn't be clearer on its commitment to dealing with climate change. Could not be clearer.
So he's out of step. Is he the only one?
Well, the government can't be clearer. I can't speak on behalf of individual backbenchers, but I can certainly echo the Prime Minister's words, and he speaks on behalf of the government, that we're dealing with climate change, we're dealing with it sensibly. We'll hit our Kyoto targets by well over 400 million tonnes. We'll launch into our Paris commitments, and the government has a very strong forward-leaning agenda in the climate change space.
Do you think the government should increase its emissions reduction target?
Well, government has set its emission reduction target at the Paris Climate Change Treaty.
But does the government need to aim higher?
Well, we set it in the middle pack of the nations of the world. We're only 1.3% of emissions, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do some heavy lifting, and we are. We're one of only a few countries that met our original Kyoto targets, which is impressive. And we'll meet our energy reduction targets as part of Paris years and years in advance. We've got a very, very strong track record on this and a very strong set of targets.
Minister, thank you very much for joining AM.
Great to talk to you.
That is the Minister for Government Services, Stuart Robert.